But let's move from old endings to early beginnings now, and the founding populations of the Americas. Up till now, only 6 founding female lineages of Native American peoples had been identified, which indicated a very simplistic and small-scale migration into the continent sometime around 15,000 to 18,000 years before present. Now, Ugo Perego and colleagues have looked at the whole mitochondrial sequence, that's the genetic information passed down the female line, and identified another 9 founding mothers.
One of the things we realized in 2008 was that almost every single Native American mitochondrial DNA lineage could be traced to one of 6 founders. And so we did 2 things. One was looking at this particular lineage, which was one of the 6. And as we did complete sequences on it, we realized that this particular lineage was actually split in 2 branches, which was not known before. So now, from the 6 original, we discovered that we have 7, because one is split in 2. In the meantime, we also added some of the lineages that we personally discovered in the last couple of years, and we realized, like, wait a second, you know, not only we were able to better define that one lineage that was one of the main founding lineages, but now we realize there are 15 founding lineages between the study of the lineage we're doing, which is called C1D, and then we realize the other lineages have also some split that can be tied back to the 15,000, 18,000 years ago estimated arrival of Paleo-Indians to the Americas. And the point we're trying to make is, like, there is a lot more diversity in the arrival of Paleo-Indians, in the events that led to the colonization of America's double continent, that the people never had an idea about this before. You know, they thought it was a pretty straightforward, you know, here is a couple people, a couple lineages, they arrive. But there is a lot more diversity, a lot more to look into.
How did you go about collecting the data for this? You mentioned that you looked at a few other papers that other people had published as well, but what other resources did you use to get this information?
Yes, I am a research scientist for a non-profit organization in Utah called the Sorenson Molecular Genealogy Foundation. Since 1999, we've been building one of the largest databases of correlated genealogical and genetic data. So we've been traveling the world, literally, and we have worked with many organizations and collected over 110,000 DNA samples together with ethnical, linguistic, and genealogical data associated to it. So we run a small section of DNA, you know, we sequence just a small component, but in that component there is enough variety that we can pick up samples from this large database that look particularly interesting. And so since we have a clue of what to look for the underrepresented lineages, what we do a careful screening of all this data, and we handpick each one of them that has some of the characteristics we're looking for that we assume would fit into some of those lineages that we are looking for. And then I took these DNA samples to the University of Pavia under the direction of Professor Antonio Torroni and Alessandro Achilli. And we can confirm, once you have the complete sequence, because a complete sequence does not hide anything. Your show is the naked scientist. You know, we have a naked mitochondrial DNA, and there is nothing to hide. You know, you see it all. And so based on now the complete sequences, we are able to ascertain and confirm that the DNA belong to the lineages we are looking for and exclude others that we thought they were, but they're not. And so we're able to build these trees. They're very comprehensive and allow for better dating and distribution and so on. We also use some collaborators in Austria, Argentina, and Spain that help us with some additional DNA samples.
Okay. And you mentioned that there are these 15 lineages now that we can identify, but not all lineages manage to survive in current modern-day populations. Is there any way that we can even estimate how many lineages have become extinct?
That's a very good question, and one that we are continually working on. What one thing that we're doing is that we acknowledge that it will be impossible probably to have an exact idea of every single lineage that came here and contributed to the original population. And as you know, the history of the Americas has been quietly changed through the years because of colonization by the European and disease and warfare. So, you know, many, many people, many tribal groups have been completely wiped out. So I have a feeling that due to genetic randomness, which, you know, genetic drift, and some of the events that characterize the history of the America, some of these lineages are lost forever. You'll never be able to know them. But one thing we can do, if we can continue provide complete sequences of whatever Native American lineage we are finding, that we will be able to at least approach that number of original founders and get closer to it more than ever before. The example comes from the lineage that we analyzed in this paper, where they thought there was one founding lineage, and then when we did complete sequences of 63 additional lineages, we found that there were two founding lineages and not one. That could have happened only with a complete sequence. So now we want to go back and do more complete sequences of some of the branches that we already have on the tree, plus others, and continue to add to the picture, the overall understanding of how many founding events characterize the colonization and expansion of Paleo-Indians.
You mentioned one of these lineages you were able to date to 15 to 18,000 years ago, but what about the 5,000-year-old piece of hair from Greenland?
That's a very good question. So our 15 to 18,000 age estimates is based on mitochondrial DNA sequences for the major haplogroups that contributed to all the Native Americans for North, Central, and South America. But what we are not saying that that was the only pre-Columbian event that contributed to the peopling of this continent. What we are saying is that that was that mark, the first arrival. In fact, that coincides with the end of the last glacial maximum. And so as the ice sheet melted away and climate condition improved 15 to 18,000 years ago at the end of the last glacial maximum, then the people that were trapped in Beringia, the Paleo-Indians that were trapped in Beringia, were able to make their move into the Americas. That does not exclude that other groups were also arriving either at the same time or more recently, but always before the Europeans, so, you know, 5, 6, 7,000 years ago, which include these people that have been recently analyzed, which contributed to the peopling of Greenland, and they most likely came from Asia around the North Pole, probably still traveling on ice sheet into North America. However, the DNA lineage of the one individual from Greenland is very rare and has not been found in Central or South America, showing that after the initial arrival, something happened that did not allow that group to expand any further than where they arrived. So they arrived there, they lived there for a while, and then something happened that they became extinct as a people and the genetic lineages, and they have not been part of contributing to the Pan-American Native Americans, which is one of the lineages that we study. The C1D I was telling you about, that's found in North, Central, and South America, and that's why it's considered a founding lineage.
So the more recent migration into Greenland doesn't count as a founding lineage, but it does help to demonstrate that the peopling of the Americas was probably far more complex than we currently realize. That was Hugo Perego from the Sorensen Molecular Genealogy Foundation.